turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Good morning, Dad. We began this last week. We're talking about the fact that God's love makes us fearless. Absolutely. Hallelujah. And I want to begin reading in this verse, and then we'll catch up to where we left off last week. I have a lot to share with you this week. It says again, the Apostle John is writing, and he says, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. There's no fear in love. We really need to get a revelation of that. Amen. If we are walking in love and we are immersed in love, there's no fear there. That's the place to get away from fear. Are you all with me? If there's anything that you are afraid of, anything that you're concerned about, anything that you have doubts about, all of those things lead to fear. Anything like that, the place to escape from that or to be redeemed from that, free of that, is in the presence of God. And you know, he doesn't make it difficult for you to get in his presence. He just asks for T-I-M-E. Time. That's a precious commodity, you know. And everything is after your time. Every distraction that comes your way is after your time. Have you noticed that? That you only have so many hours in the day? And we sometimes make the mistake of saying, well, I'll keep the really important things to the end. And then you give it your least energies, your least everything, and expect it to do the most. And sometimes you don't even get to it. And you go to bed feeling like you didn't do the one thing that you wanted to do. Who knows what I'm talking about? Amen? So we really need to watch out for that. We need to put first things first. And all the little foxes that get in the way, stick them in a cage, you know what I mean? And you get to them when you get to them, but you do the thing that you feel to do that is most important to you first. Give it your best energy. Amen? And you'll find that when you go to bed that night, you'll be like, well, I kind of didn't do all these other things, but who cares? I did the thing that was most important. Amen. Amen. And can I just say, most important is to get in that presence. Most important is to find time to get to the place where this verse lets us know that there's no fear in that place. There's no fear in God. There's no fear in love. Amen? And he goes on to say, but perfect love, watch this, it casts out fear. It doesn't allow it to stay. If you come in with some of it, it will cast the thing out. Hallelujah. And he goes on to say, because fear involves torment. See, God won't allow you to be tormented. He will not permit you to be tormented. Are you all with me? He won't allow it. And he says, because fear involves torment, but he who fears, we see, has not been made perfect in love. So if somebody has that fear, it means that they haven't been perfected in love yet. Yet. You're getting there, okay? Just don't kind of go, well, you know, I still got fears. I'm never getting there. It's just, no. Just keep at it. I'm going to show you something today to help you with that. All right, because I had time to meditate on this a bit longer, and it really... God gave me some instructions for you to help you get there. So I'm going to help you get there. Hallelujah. Thank you. All right. So last time, it's like one of those episodes, we talked about the fact that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. That's what we've been given. That's what we're working with. You know, not only does God say to come to him and that, you know, in that presence, that fear will just get cast out, but he's also given, he has equipped us with something. He's equipped us with three things that come against this fear. A spirit of fear can be come against by three different things, and he mentions what those things are. Watch, he says again, power, love, and a sound mind. You know, God doesn't leave us powerless. Amen. And remember that power is the Holy Spirit. That is God. It's not an inferior power. It is the power of God himself. Amen. And that power is there for you. And you know, make use of it now while you need it. Okay. And the second thing is, he talks about love. Notice love, because it casts out fear. It is a power in your life as well. And the last thing he talks about is a sound mind. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the one that pours the love of God into your heart. And remember that we have the mind of Christ. We talked about all of this last time. Amen? All right. So we then went on to look at Isaiah 41:10. That is a brilliant verse of scripture for you to meditate on. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit today. All right? Where he says, "Fear not, for I am with you. I am with you. I haven't forsaken you. I didn't forget you." Okay? He says, "I am with you," not somewhere else on vacation. We always think, "God, where are you? Are you on vacation or something? What happened?" You know, he goes in to say here, he says, "Be not dismayed, for I am your God." Not your circumstances, not anything else. He says, "I am your God." These are things that we need to get a revelation of, family. Again, which I will help you today. He says, "I will strengthen you." Watch, even if you're weak, you know, when you say, "God, I have nothing left in me," he says, "I will strengthen you." He doesn't say, "Strengthen yourself." But that requires you to meditate on this. It requires you to take this in. Again, we'll talk about that in a minute. I have to get there. He says, "Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you. I will help you. I will uphold you." You know, when you say, "God, help," he doesn't say, "Sorry, I'm busy today. Can I schedule you for next week?" You know, "I'll be dead by next week." Okay, he says, "You call for help, I will help you." And then he says here, "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Hallelujah. Okay. We also looked at the fact that Jesus said in Luke 12:32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God wants to give you everything. Amen? That brings us to today. Hallelujah. All right, I'm sorry it took so long, but that was important. So today, you know, we're back at 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. It says, "And we have known and believed the love God has for us." Now, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about knowing and believing. Okay? Knowing is when you read something. You know, once you read something, you know about it. And that's the problem with the body of Christ. They know a lot of stuff, but they don't believe any of it. They can read your whole Bible 6 times a year and know this and not believe any of the thing. You can quote scripture. I know one dude that could quote the Bible. I mean, you just give him any verse and he'll tell you where it came from. And you could... You know, he used to do this thing where, you know, he would take money off people, $1 for every time he got something right. And I mean, some theologians would come and they would misquote a scripture just a little bit and he'd go, "That's wrong," and take the money off him. And somebody would try to give him a wrong reference, you know, like a verse that didn't exist. Like if there was 16 verses and he says verse 17, he'd take his money. Go, "There's not a verse like that." I mean, that's just like that. And the guy didn't believe any of it. Knew it in his head, but not in his heart. Isn't that sad? And most Christians today know it in their head, but not in their heart. So I want to talk to you about that today, okay? How do we go from knowing to believing? How do we do that? I think you already probably figured it out. We need to spend time in the Word. It's called meditating God's Word. Amen? It means that you take time to go over and over scriptures so that you allow God. In doing that, what you do is you actually allow God to talk to you about them. It's not just you meditating and just saying it over and over again, blah, 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 blah. "Fear not, fear not, fear not." That was not going to do anything for you. Okay, okay. You know, it goes, "Fine with you, fine with you, fine with you." No. What you do is, you know, you need to meditate. You need to know, "Fear not," and then you think about it and you think, "Why am I not to fear?" Because God says, "I am with you," and you get that revelation. See, He's already with you. It's just that we don't know it. This doesn't make God do anything that He hasn't already done. What this does is put us in line with His Word, in agreement, in harmony with what He's already said. He's standing there going, "Can you please believe what I said? Because I can help you if you believe. I can't if you don't. And these signs will follow those who just know the word? No. These signs will follow those who believe.
Amen.
So we're having a little problem of believing most of the time. And we have, and in different places, there are forces that come against people. This country, this city, has one of the biggest things that there are on the planet coming against the body of Christ. So many people can do so many things in other places, in other countries, that won't happen here. People have told me, go overseas, and you know, just I resisted this. But they said, just go overseas, man, this thing will work. I said, no. I'm here to fight. I'm here. This is my battleground. I'm going to run off to a place where it's easier. The flesh wants to.
Yeah.
You know, some days, you know, you just want to lay hands and people just, you know, eyeballs grow out and legs grow out and everything else.
Yeah.
But you know something? God has called each one of us to the place where we have been equipped to fight.
Right.
And if we go somewhere else, then we're out of God's will. It'll be easier, probably get a lot more done, but it won't be in God's will. And it won't be His kingdom you built, it'll be your kingdom in His name that you built. And those things have a way of falling, you know? Anyway, okay. So, remember all of this again comes back to we love Him because He first loved us. This is all based on this. He first loved us. Remember again that love created us so that love could love something. We were created to be loved. Are you all with me? See, that's the reason why we look for love in all the wrong places. You know the little song? It's a country song, isn't it? Looking for love in all the... Anyway, all right. Well, you know, it's true. I mean, people have this... I don't know how to put this, this predisposition to looking for love everywhere. All the songs you hear have something to do with love somewhere. Do you know why? Because we were made by love. And love is at the core of our being. And we're looking for it in different ways. Amen. That's why even the pets that we have, that's for us to love them. Not for them to annoy us. You know, and some days you just think, I'll get another one. No. All right. So, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Let's go there. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Wait, I haven't finished here. In his commentary, I. Howard Marshall writes, this is good. It is good for us to constantly renew our knowledge of God's love as we read of it in the Bible, as we hear it proclaimed in worship of the church, and as we consider the ways in which our whole life has been molded by experiences of God's love and care for us. And the best way to renew our minds and hearts to the reality of the truth that perfect love casts out fear is again through meditation of God's word. It is only as we meditate do we internalize the thing and we take it from our head and put it in our heart. Because Jesus said, whatever you believe in your heart, that's what will move the mountain. Mark 11:23. Amen? So, you know, Joshua was struggling with fear. We need to understand that he had just taken over from Moses. This is the generation that just rebelled. Remember the 12 spies? And 2 come back with a good report and the other 10 come back with an evil report that say we can't do it. And so they all die in the wilderness. Now Joshua is taking over the group that came after that, okay? All the kids. They're like, we're not going to listen to and do what our parents did because they all died out here like grasshoppers, okay? So he says, you know, we want to do what God wanted. You know, we want to do what God wants us to do and receive and take a hold of that promised land that God promised us. Which you find out also from Rahab that they were scared and they were waiting to be conquered. And these people didn't trust God. What an incredible thing, huh? And so Joshua doesn't know any of this stuff. Okay, he's about to take over. And obviously he's a little bit afraid. There's a million plus people. What are you going to do with them? You know, they have a habit of stoning you if you get things wrong. Find themselves another prophet that'll tell them what they want to hear. Oh, I tell you, you look at the Old Testament, they're just like that. This is not a good congregation to have. Okay, and so he's kind of a little bit afraid now. He's got this bunch of people at the back of him. He's got this problem in front of him. And what does God do? God doesn't say, I will come down like a mighty fire and I will quench. There'll be nobody left to, take the promised land. You know what I mean? So watch what he does. Watch what he does. He said, we always read verse 8, but today I want to read verses 8 and 9. All right? So Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, this is his solution to Joshua's fear. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Now I'm reading from the New King James. Don't let this depart out of your mouth. In other words, don't say anything out of your mouth that will counteract and contradict what I have for you. See, this is something that we have to be so careful that our mouth isn't killing us. Death and life are in the power of your tongue.
Yeah, that's right.
As a man believes in his heart, so is he and she. Okay? We need to be so careful what we speak and what we believe. Because what we speak will end up in our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. It's a rotating thing. You send it from your mouth to your heart, and then your heart sends it back out of your mouth. When it comes back out of your mouth from your heart, then you got problems or you have solutions, depending on whether there's fear or faith in there. Amen. Okay. So he says, this book of the law shall not depart out from your mouth. He says, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Watch, the reason you do it is that you may observe to do, so that you know what to do. Okay. He says, observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. He says, if you do this, you will succeed. You will prosper, you will succeed. This will work. Verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. There it is. You see that? He says, don't be afraid. All right, he said, have courage. He says, do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He says, I'm there every single moment of every single day. Just know that. Amen. Now, this is true for us more than ever before as the children of God. This is the reason why the Apostle John was so ecstatic when he says in 1 John 3:1, and I want to read it from the Amplified Bible. He says, what an incredible quality of love the Father has shown us, that we should be named and called and counted the children of God. Do you know why he's so excited? Because everything in the Old Testament now belongs to him. As sons, we have access to everything. As slaves, they had limited access. Don't compare yourself to Job, please. The dude was not a son. Everybody says, yeah, but what about Job? Yeah, but what about Jesus Christ and the cross? A huge price was paid. Amen? It changed everything. We need to get a hold of this. We have to stop going back to Job. But anything good is ours. Anything bad, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but the principalities and powers, and we have a whole bunch of armor to do it with. Job had no armor. Yeah, but he was righteous, but he had no armor. The dude was naked. As them Texans say. You know, we say naked, they say naked. You know, there's nothing there, right? I mean, he'd get attacked and that's it, we're done. Anyway. Just in case somebody jumped up with Job in there. All right. How do we know it all belongs to us? Watch in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. What's the blessing? The blessing of Abraham is the blessing for the Jews. Abraham's the original Jew. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay? I mean, it all started there. I mean, we all love Moses, but Abraham was the one that started this whole thing, and he is father of the faith. Are you all with me? And that blessing has come on us, so we have access to all of it. Why am I saying this to you? Because I want to go back to the Psalms and give you some verses of scripture, and I don't want somebody jumping up there and saying, yeah, but that's for the Old Testament saints. Hey, this is for the body of Christ. This is for God's kids. Amen? Not some chosen people, for God's kids. Oh, that's powerful. So Psalm 27 verse 1. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whoa, I really like that. Watch what this person does with fear. He doesn't tolerate the thing. He says, the Lord is, watch, the two things. He's my light and my salvation. He's never in the dark. He is your light. There's purity in there as well. There's holiness in there. There's all sorts of things in there. He says, he's my light and my salvation. You know, salvation is when God comes and saves you from whatever problem you're having. Are you all with me? And it doesn't stop there. He says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He's saying more, you know, I've got light, I've got salvation, I've got strength. Why should I ever be afraid of anything? Amen. You need to meditate on this stuff. You know, I can carry on over here, spit on everybody, jump up and down, you know, sweat profusely, all right? Whatever, but until you get this, this is me getting it. I got it. I'm trying to give it to you. But, you know, you need to meditate the thing. You need to spend time thinking about it so that God can speak it into your spirit. Whoo! When that goes in, oh, they won't be able to hold you down. Amen. More. I got more verses. There's also Psalm 46. Psalm 46. I want to read verse 1 and then the first part of verse 2, okay? Because I don't want to lose what verse 2 says. It says again, God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge. You know, some days you need to just, you need refuge. You know, okay? Oh, know what I'm talking about? I mean, the enemy attacks you from everywhere and just, God, I just need a place to hide. You need some, okay, I'm just telling you, man, some days you just need that. You know, your arm is hanging and the breastplate is kind of sideways and the shoes, I don't know where I put my shoes. You know what I'm trying to say? And it's just kind of like, yeah, I need to go somewhere. I need respite. Okay, I need 28 days. Whatever, you know. Whatever. Anyway, so he says, God is our refuge and our strength. So there's a place that you can just go rest. All right? And be strengthened. And he says, a very present help in trouble. He's not no help at all when you're in trouble. He's a very present help. I love it. It says a very present help. Like right now. Very present. Not just present, but very present. Okay, get this? See, that's what happens when you meditate. All right, and then verse 2, he says, therefore, we will not fear. I want to stop there because, I mean, that is the strongest statement that you can make when you say, I will or we will. That is the most powerful statement that exists because it is exercising your will. Regardless of whatever else happens, you make the decision, I will not. And in this case, fear. I will not fear, okay? All right. What happens if you fall into fear? And it's like, oh, pastor, I slipped, man. I messed up. I have a verse for you. Psalm 56 and verse 3. Just in case you mess up a little bit. And the devil says, see, you fell into fear. That's enough. You're mine. No. I have another verse. Okay, these are your swords. Amen. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is your sword. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. If ever I mess up, and you see, it goes back to this. Catch yourself. Say to yourself, self, you're in fear. What do I do? Quickly meditate. No, just trust in God. You don't have time to quickly meditate. That's not a quick thing. That's like trying to quickly boil water. doesn't happen. Okay? It takes time, dude. All right? So you need to understand that you just say, God, I'm just going to trust you right now. That's all I can do right now is just trust. Amen? Now, notice he says, I will trust in you. Again, a very powerful statement. Amen? All right. Now, when you do this, Psalm 34 and verse 4 promises this. Watch. It says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Whenever you go after God, he will hear you. But watch, I love how it finishes. And delivered me from all my fears. Not some of them, not most of them, not a majority. He said all of them. Praise God. What's left? Nothing. No fear means faith. Faith means mountains are moving. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Now, I've said here, no matter what you are going through, always remember the words of Elisha to his servant in 2 Kings 6:16. What did he say? Do not fear. First thing he says is, do not fear. Why? He says, for those who are with us are more. Those who are with you are more than those who are with them coming against you in whatever way they're doing that. You got more on your side. If you could ever see, you know, that's what peeves me a little bit with some of those movies and stuff. They just show the devil and he's personified and he's going doing bad things. And you know, those either they totally disregard the devil that he doesn't exist or they give him too much power. And God never turns up in these movies. And there's more of them. When the Bible says there's more of us, what happened? Don't listen to that stuff because that stuff is just there to... Anyway, now, I wish I had time. I've got a few more minutes left. How many minutes do I have left? Never mind, too late. All right, so in the few minutes that I have left, because I think I ran out of time, I want to just quickly share just a few verses from Psalm 91. Because you need to understand that love has promised you certain things. And I don't have time to go through the whole thing, okay? So let me do the best I can as quickly as I can. Are you all ready? Put your little, you know, scripture running shoes on now. All right, Psalm 91, verse 1. I'm starting from the New Living Translation. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I really love that version. Notice he says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High, there is shelter in God. There is shelter in love. Did you get that? There is shelter in love. He says, watch. He says, we'll find rest. We'll find rest. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden and, you know, whatever. He says, and I will give you rest. Whatever burdens you're carrying, whatever weights you're carrying, whenever you go to God, he gives you rest, not more work, not more things to carry. Now you have to believe this and you have to believe that. That's a weight on you. I have learned to rest and receive. I now pray that over people. It's so much easier than going, you can only do that so long. Yeah. But this, I can do that forever. Okay? I'm resting, baby. Okay? And receiving. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Verse 4. It explains why. He says here, can I say love? All right, because this is God. Love will shield you with his wings. And love will shelter you with his feathers. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. His promises are your armor. His promises are your protection. Whenever the devil comes at you, what did Jesus do? He used the word. And when the devil tried to misquote it, he said, it is also written. Amen. We need to know what is written and what's also written. Amen. I will read through verses 5 through 13 very quickly just to give you a feel of this. Sorry, I don't have time. From the New King James. Sorry, at the back. All right. He says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Amen. See, that's when things are coming at you. You need to say, no, I refuse. It shall not come near me. You decide. Verse 8, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil, verse 10, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over you. Wow, not only does he do everything to help you, now you got additional help. The army turns up. I love this. Those guys are, especially Michael's angels, they're designed to fight. I mean, they came out fighting. You know, like birds come out flying? That was in their DNA. They were created as angels that will do battle. Which is the reason why they overcame Lucifer and his angels. Because them fellas weren't designed that way. Okay? Don't mess with God's creation. If he created to do something, listen. If he created something to do something, it will always succeed. Just the way he created you to do something and expects you to succeed. He didn't make you inferior to angels. I know sometimes people preach that. But when you got born again, you were recreated superior to all of them. But we don't know how still. We're still trying to get to the place where we are the glorious church. Anyway, I said I wouldn't. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 12, in their hands they shall bear you up. Watch, they're not going to leave you alone. Anything happens, they're there to catch you. All right? Lest you dash your foot against a stone. Verse 13, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, you shall trample underfoot. And to assure us that as we call, he will hear and answer. It says in verses 15 and 16, this time from the New Living Translation, sorry. It says, when they call on me, I will answer. There's no question. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. I will satisfy them with long life and give them my salvation. With long life. That's verses 15 and 16. Sorry, I went through that very quickly because we are so out of time now. All right. Listen, that's the reason why Jesus says, my peace. You know, this is the peace of God that is left with us. In John chapter 14, verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Jesus Christ, God, has a certain kind of peace. It's a divine peace, which he says, I'm going to give this to you. So it won't, you know, because that's the problem we have so much of the time, that we have trouble believing because there's no peace in our heart. And if we are in peace, we can think straight, we can believe correctly. Amen. And we can activate the power of God. And so he says, again in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. He says, don't be afraid. You've got everything going for you. That's why the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, 37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Always comes back to love, doesn't it? Amen. Because we know he loved us, we know we can be and should be more than conquerors. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we just thank you today. We see love has always and will always be at the center of everything. Why it is so important that we just allow you, God, to love us and bless us by not only knowing but believing the love that you have for us. And I thank you, Father, that as we do believe, that things begin to change in our life, that the enemy is defeated, and that we walk in the newness of life that you came to give us. A full life, a blessed life, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.